Hi, I'm Lisette Jacobson, host of the Black, Brown, and Bilingue podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of My EdTech Life. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Monday evening, or it may be well into Tuesday, depending on where it is that you're joining us around the world. But wherever you are, we want to say thank you for all of your support. We appreciate all the likes, the shares, the follows. Thank you so much to all our new YouTube subscribers. As you know, our mission is to get to 1,000 subscribers, so I appreciate each and every single one of you who've jumped over to YouTube, given us a thumbs up, and have subscribed to our channel. So thank you so much, as always, for all of that continued support, because that drives us to bring you some amazing conversations week in and week out. And tonight is no exception. So tonight, I am really excited because we're going to be talking to Matt Ivey, who is going to be sharing his experience. He's going to be sharing the work that he's doing. And I'm definitely going to be sharing his website called dyslexic.ai. And so we're going to be talking about AI. We're going to be talking about dyslexia. We're going to be talking about Matt's journey. So, Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, Fonz. It's a great night. Sun's going down here. I'm in Northern California, and it was a nice sunny day here for us. So it's a wonderful evening.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Matt. And just to give our audience members a little bit of history here, the way that I got to meet or connect with Matt is through LinkedIn. As obviously, you know, in the last year, we've talked about AI, and there's so many things that are happening in that space. And obviously, too, in the LinkedIn space, with so many wonderful educators, people, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, all kinds of, you know, people that are really leveraging the power of AI. And I happened to see Matt's work and the newsletter that he puts out, and signing up for that newsletter. And he definitely puts out some great content. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, Matt. So before we get started, if you can, Matt, give us a little brief introduction and what your context is within your professional space, so that way our audience members can go ahead and connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm a dyslexic thinker. That's not something I knew as a kid growing up. That wasn't something that was, I didn't figure that out until I went back to college. And so when I was going back to school, getting my degree and trying to get through math, I actually kind of was, I struggled with my algebra too, multiple times. I struggled with typing. I knew I thought different, but I didn't know exactly what it was until I was an adult. And then, but I always had a passion for learning. I love to learn, but I don't know, always wanted to do it my own way. Which makes sense now a lot as I look back on things that I'm learning now about myself. And a lot of that's through my daughter, who's dyslexic, who's 11. So that's kind of my career path. Was I wanted to be a teacher. I love to do tech stuff. I kind of got into a tech job where I worked in a server room. I got to do some really cool stuff, got to make a decent career, but then decided I wanted to do something on my own, moved up to South Lake Tahoe so I could do some snowboarding and just disappear for 6 months. And that turned into going back to college, actually, which was really cool. So I went back to school up there. That's where I found out I was dyslexic. They helped me get through my math class, but that was about all I figured out about dyslexia. So I get my degree, and it did change from liberal studies to recreation administration kind of halfway through. And it was my passion for teaching outdoor education that led to me realizing that teaching in the classroom, the way that standardized classroom setting was these days, was not going to work for me. I needed my autonomy, and I wasn't going to get it there. So the recreation degree allowed me to kind of do that. To do it, I had to get a business minor, which at the time I didn't think I needed. And now it's, it was the best part about the program, honestly. So that program allowed me to become a teacher of all different types of programs, which was really cool. We got a, you know, it was like, we learned about how to work with senior programs all the way down to little kid programs. And then all the administrative side of things. And so, at the time we graduated, started our own business doing a mobile rock climbing wall. That led to buying the gymnastics gym that my wife was managing at the time. At the same time, we have my daughter. And so I became a stay-at-home dad business owner. And I was not a gymnast, so I went all in on Ninja Warrior is what we kind of deviated to for our physical literacy program. It's kind of like what we were doing that was appealing to my son and some of the other kids who aren't doing gymnastics. And so I made a push towards that. And then, which was like physical literacy based. And then the pandemic hit, we pulled our kids from school after that. And I was studying flipped education. I loved that model and I felt like it really worked and was something that interested me. Long story short was that kind of going through the process of transitioning out of doing a micro gym, to starting a micro school for our kids. And so we got a micro school gym going over the last handful of years, started off following Acton Academy and ended up doing our own kind of bespoke program because we had a kids gym. And it just went hand in hand. So we made the classroom out of that. And, anyways, so as I'm doing that in January, I'm starting to branch off and do some business coaching, consulting with other gym owners. These are more like CrossFit gym owners and starting to create some content and do some stuff around them. In doing so, my coach was encouraging me to start putting out a blog and content and a newsletter. And I panicked and I was like, man, you just don't get it. Like, I can't type. My brain shuts down. That's my biggest thing with dyslexia. And it was like this challenge. At the same time, I was trying to convince these guys to use this new program called ChatGPT to help them coach and consult for their gyms, which was something that was like, gym owners weren't wanting to hear because it was like maybe going to take away from their jobs in the same way teachers were like maybe not sure what was going on. And so it was a difficult conversation to have, but I was loving this working with AI and ChatGPT. It was actually, I started having these conversations with it because I didn't have other people to have conversations with. And in doing that, there was sort of this social emotional thing that was kind of coming out too. We're like, I was getting to have cool conversations that I liked the answers. It was very helpful for me. And I had this like aha moment and just went, wow, this is like going to be game changing for dyslexic thinkers. And so that sort of started this idea of a dyslexic AI chatbot. I'm not a developer. I'm not a typer. I'm terrible at it. So when you put me in the world of like, I can imagine it, I can visualize it, I can see it all. I know what it's going to look like. I know what it's going to feel like, but put those pieces together wasn't going to work. I tried to learn Python. I tried to learn some of that stuff, but anyway, so it turned into sort of this challenge of a newsletter. I created this book, and so kind of a PDF guide through using technology and different LLM models to go over what my thoughts were on dyslexia AI, kind of my story, how I was using it, and just to get that out there. And it turned into like I was going to do a once a week newsletter, like any neurodivergent person that gets really excited about something. I got excited, created 52 weeks of newsletters, which after posting the first one, made me want to post one the next day. And so I ended up with 52 days of newsletters and just posted them and went, okay, now it's a daily newsletter, you know, I need to get my thoughts out. And so that's how this all kind of spawned. It was basically just an opportunity for me to have a voice and to share my backstory, which I had never done before. I had never told anybody that I had dyslexia. I had never shared that. My close friends and people didn't know. I was really good at hiding it and masking it. These terms and things I'm learning now as an adult. And so anyways, next kind of how we got started and where I'm at now.
Wow, you know, and that's great. You know, I love the way that, number one, just really outside the box thinker. I love that. I love what your mission is, your purpose, and really, you know, just the fact that, like you mentioned, you know, going through this and, like you mentioned, masking it, you know, covering that up. And I'm not sure how that is. And I would like to just learn a little bit more about that, because I know that for you, when you discovered the AI component, of course, the ChatGPT component of this, that, like you mentioned, has really helped you in that aspect. Like, well, you know, you don't like to type, or, you know, you find it difficult, but you can visualize it and you know exactly what it's going to look like, which is kind of very similar to the way that I am. I'm very visual in that sense. And just like we were talking in the pre-chat, it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm not a big fan of writing, but I know I've gotten a little bit better, but I'm more of, I can visualize it. And if somebody could just put it together for me, we'll be good to go. But yeah. Matt, I want to ask you a little bit, you know, because to me it's so important, because I know that there are many young adults and even young students right now in the K-12 space that may be struggling with dyslexia. They may be struggling with other things, but I would love to just hear a little bit about your story within the K-12 space. And even now as an adult, you know, how you've been able to kind of go and cope, or maybe even mask, and tell us a little bit about your day-to-day experience. And then we'll talk a little bit about how that AI component came in and has really helped you just be a voice on LinkedIn.
Yes. Well, it's been game changer. It's life changing, right? Absolutely life changing for me. You know, the way that when I look back now, the way I love to read, I was lucky. My grandma brought me up on listening to old time AM radio shows before I would go to bed. And it was awesome because I could visualize everything. And so I was fascinated by that. And so in fact, I was listening to adult AM radio shows because you couldn't, it was back in the day when you couldn't just get it on demand, right? It was like Sunday night at 9 o'clock was the 1 hour that I could listen to it before I'd fall asleep. And so, there was that sort of like visualization part that I enjoyed, and I loved reading. Reading was really a huge thing in our house. It's kind of why I'm surprised. My mom was the librarian for our school, for a private school when I was growing up, you know, and we didn't catch on to my dyslexia at all with it, you know. And so, but the way that I did it was I had to become a leader in a lot of ways. So I was either going to be the leader or the class clown. And so those are like my two coping, like, well, and the athlete, it was really like where I went with everything, because I am ADHD as well. I am realizing now, like I've never actually said this publicly, but I am on the spectrum for autism, and that's something that I'm figuring out as well too, right? And so as an adult at 46, and it's only because of this process that I've been going through trying to figure out why I was masking, how I was doing things over the years. So when it came to being in the classroom, I was the first guy to answer questions, do stuff, but raise my hand to go to the bathroom, or be when I knew I was going to be the next person to read, when they're, you know, pretty easy to figure out when you're just going down the row and switching up people's reading. I was the person that was like, hey, do you want to come up here and help? Like, pick the readers? Absolutely. Whatever I can do to like get myself out of that situation, which put me in a different situation. It puts you in front of people in a different way. And so I coped by doing that. And then it was athletics. I was really big in athletics. My ADHD, I'm super kinesthetic learner. If you want to have a conversation with me and I'm like working out something, I want to be, doing some kind of extreme activity and processing a bunch of stuff. My mind's got to be working on a bunch of things to then free it up to have my true aha moments come out. And so that doesn't work really well at school either. Right. And so, that was how sports came into play and that kind of stuff. And it was the same thing when I got to work. What happened, what I realized was that I was the kind of guy that I would go, instead of giving you your TPS report or the report that I needed to do had to be done, that was a standardized report, I would do the bare minimum that I could possibly do. And then I would come find you with either a phone call or I would do a walk by, and I would get it all out by communicating in other ways. And so I was very social that way, but I wasn't going to be the guy that was going to give you all of the information that the majority of people would do in their cases, reports or whatever it would be all that with like a, hey, I can fill in, like talk to you for like 2 seconds if you need some extra details, but it's all in the report. Just go read the report. I was the opposite way. They were like, you know, like this is in the report. And I'm like, okay, well, I can tell you. So I found my ways to cope that way. And then, you know, when you bounce around from job to job to job, I worked at a family job for a while. And so that afforded me the opportunity to make mistakes and do things on my own. I didn't do very well with being told what to do in jobs, where I didn't have the liberty to be flexible in how I did things. And so I found my way out of those jobs really quick. And that was my one way of coping. And then when it came to like the typing, really, I had my mom and my sister in my glove box. But I also was lucky because I grew up in a time when I didn't have to start typing until my senior year of high school. That was 95. It was the first year that I took a typing class that you have to start turning in things. So it was mom, sister, type my report for me. Don't change anything. Like, it's not better when you do it. I don't mess with it. I need it exactly this way. Just do it. Just type it. I was very adamant about that. And so, which actually kind of is an interesting segue to the whole AI conversation that I'm having right now with people, because, I look back now and I'm almost like, I wasn't a cheater. I didn't cheat, but I was going to find every shortcut that I possibly could to make it easier on myself, like with integrity and honesty and whatever. And so, I mean, I wasn't going to tell my teachers that I didn't type it, like, you know, I wasn't going to go that far, but it was my thoughts and it was my words. It was my content. And so like segueing into where we are with AI right now, you know, that's something that I'm battling right now because I'm creating content and I didn't think that I could create content. It got so bad for me that I could not communicate with my own team, which was my wife, our general manager, and a handful of coaches for our gym. Because if I wasn't there in person, there was zero communication from that. Zero communication. And then I would come in and I would get my little time with them and I'd shove all of this, everything down their throats at one time and bombard everybody, you know? And so, but it didn't work because it wasn't consistent and it was all or nothing with me. And, you know, in my family, I was called feast or famine. It was for a reason. It was all or nothing. Like, I'm either visionary, I can see it all, or I don't see it. I don't pick up on those cues. Like, maybe that's on the spectrum part, right? Like maybe I'm not good at picking up cues. Maybe I'm really good at picking up cues. I walk that line constantly back and forth, trying to figure it out. And so anyways, I found different ways of masking it, hiding it, getting around it. But it really did get to a point where it was a turning point for me. Like I should have to do something. Like creating this newsletter is now a healthy addiction, I guess you could say. You know, it's become, it's just, something that I have to do. I know I need to change how I'm doing it and adjust some stuff or whatever, but it was like, can I just show up every day and get my thoughts out in a way that I haven't been able to before? And the AI tools allowed me to do that. Because there's no way I would not be doing this without them. But I will say I've spent 1,000 to 1,500 hours, you know, like since January, consumed by how do I prompt it? How do I train it? How do I get it to speak like me? How do I get it? How do I use it every day in a way that is it? I feel like I have no desire to use the tool to make me sound smarter or use a bunch of bigger words. In fact, honestly, I have to dumb it down constantly. I dumb it down to speak my language because I don't speak that way. And so I'm using it in a way so that I get to voice my opinions and my thoughts and stuff. And it helps me with that. But I'm not using it to just create this content that AI generated in the same way that I wouldn't let my mom change my paragraph for me, you know? So.
That is amazing. That is, Matt, like you've hit on so many things that you covered everything very well. And, you know, I thank you so much for being very open and honest and just sharing your story with us and the way that, you know, again, that experience, like I didn't start typing till I was in junior high, but very much so like you, where I would just do the same thing. It's like, I'm going to find the lowest barrier to entry and the lowest and the easiest way to submit things in my own way, because that's just the way that I would do things. But now, like you said, with these tools that are readily available for us for this last year, and they only keep getting better. And of course, we know in the education space, these tools are doing some great things and helping teachers out. But even in the professional space, the space that you and I navigate also as well, these instruments, these tools are doing some great things to help voice or give us a voice or help us really amplify our voice and kind of really just put our ideas and thoughts together in an organized way to really get those out. Because sometimes, like I said, we can definitely see it and we see the vision, but sometimes we just need that little extra help to really just put that vision together. So I want to ask you, when was that aha moment for you that really you said, this is it, I am going to start my daily newsletter that I'm going to put out? And what was, I know you wanted to, like you said, you mentioned you want to get your ideas out, but what was the main purpose? What is it, or actually I should say, what kind of information are you sharing with us as readers on your newsletter?
Yeah, well, as far as the purpose or the, I knew that it was helpful. Like the first tape that I used it, it was like mind blown. And we started with the Harry Potter story. It was like, and this is something I enjoy doing, like going back through my history of all of this and where did it start? And it started with the very first post that I saw was somebody that had created the Harry Potter story that was like kind of like almost choose your own adventure. And you got to answer the questions, A, B, C, or D or whatever. And I did that with the family, and we just went, wow. I didn't stop. Everybody else was like, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, like they played with it and they've done stuff, whatever, but it was like immediately like that was cool. So, I started feeding it. I was right in the mode. It was perfect. Like I was just getting into this needing to make a change for myself. And so that aha moment happened in January, like the first time that I tried it. As I started to use it a little bit more, I immediately started talking almost all the conversation was about dyslexia and using this tool, It started off for a minute about micro gyms, and I was doing some stuff about micro schools, and I was working with a micro school group and doing a little bit of work with trying to help. I have a passion for keeping teachers in teaching. And so there was this, we were trying to get our school going. And so I was kind of going down this path. But as I started to use it, I went, how can I continue to just train this model so that it knows everything about dyslexia and AI? As I went, that's pretty much all of that's in there. So every day I'm tweaking it, asking it more questions about dyslexia. What kind of tools are there? What kind of research can you do? Like just pushing its limits. Like how can I break this thing? Like how much information can it give me that I don't know? And, you know, and here I'm a guy that does not understand Orton Gillingham. I'm figuring that out right now because my daughter is doing it. I didn't have any accommodations. I didn't know any of these programs. I didn't know anything. I didn't know me by dyslexia. I didn't know any of these other groups and organizations that were doing stuff. I just knew that I wasn't able to find people that were talking about AI yet at all, let alone about AI and dyslexia. So I went, like, this is a great place for me to just like put all of my focus and my energy into. And that was really like, okay, how do I create a chatbot? How do I create an LLM model that when you come to, you get to have this conversation like I'm having it. And so I was just like basically copying the way I was using it and reverse engineering. It's the way my mind works. How can I reverse engineer? And I live in this world of like, how do I like make things up and like, how do I make it happen? And then as soon as it gets to like repeat process systems, SOPs, all that stuff, I'm out of there. Like I like to live in these other two little worlds. And so, so it was, how can I just get as much information in there? How can I just prime this thing with as much data that I possibly can? So then I started using other tools to feed all of that information into ChatGPT. And so what I thought was going to be easy, because I got onto LinkedIn and started creating this network, and I had started to create a little bit of a network for the micro schools within LinkedIn, was like, hey, I need a developer. Like I'm looking for somebody to help me develop this great tool. I have this idea and I need someone to help me build it. That wasn't an easy conversation. Like I wasn't ready. I didn't know exactly what I wanted. I couldn't find the right conversations, so I just kept going down the rabbit hole, which has led to the fact of like, now we can create our own models, right? And it didn't take very long to get to a point where you could start to create these own tools. So I started to play with that, right? So I've got a dyslexic AI assistant co-pilot created and a dyslexic AI assistant GPT model that's created that are sort of running in the background right now. It's just me that's messing with that and that's doing it and fine tuning it and everything. And I'm no specialist, right? And so I don't have this like education in a certain way that of the questions that a teacher would ask in or whatever. I just know how I use it. And so that, you know, the newsletter became a lot of just like, how can I have conversations to get people thinking about this? How would you use the tool? What ways do you see it being effective for you and benefiting you? And start having those conversations. And that's where I'm at now, was that it's led to getting to have a lot of conversations. And so there are a lot of tools and there are a lot of new pieces that are being created. You had an amazing tool on this week where, you know, like, it's groundbreaking. It's going to forever change how our students are assessed. And, you know, when you layer on the great things that they're doing with these AI models, you've got this opportunity to have like a customized education. And anyway, so it's really like got me into having two conversations. One revolves around education and one revolves around business. And the cool part is that they're both linked together because we live in this world where this education is going to trickle down what we've been doing in the business to the education model. And that education model is going to push forward this new growth and this new transition into like what I'm considering. I consider this like the industrial educational revolution. Like this is the gold mine. This is the time of information meets education and access for anybody and everybody in the whole world. So, you know, that was my long-winded answer.
No, but that was so much great stuff in there, Matt. And I mean, just the passion that you share it with. And I just want to share here, Thomas Hummel, who's joining us on the show. It says the work that you are doing is so important. So thank you, Thomas. Yeah, thank you for joining us, Thomas, and sharing out your comments too as well. So again, so Matt, I mean, this is great because like I said, you know, coming into LinkedIn and really, you know, just finding a different network here, more of that kind of business side, and then running into your content, to me, it was something that was very unique in the sense that I had not seen anybody other than you really go deep on this and really write about this. So that's why I was very intrigued. And then just being able to read the content and understand a little bit more. And tonight, you know, having this conversation with you and still even understanding even more now, I mean, it's just great. So I love that you're putting this out there because there are so many people right now, not only in the education space, but just, you know, regular, just in the business space and just other people that may not be in that space that do need this additional support, that do need some of this help. And the fact that you're bringing it to light and you're putting it out there in front of many eyes, such as myself and all our audience members that are going to be catching this. And obviously, I've been telling them also to go to your website to download your ebook. So that kind of brings me to that point of the ebook. So tell us a little bit about the ebook and the inception of that ebook, how it all started. And by the way, before you talk about the ebook, I definitely love, it says Outside the Box, the Dyslexic AI Playbook. And I absolutely love that title. So if you don't mind, Matt, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just share my screen here a little bit, just so that folks that are joining us can just see what the ebook looks like. And I am plugging that link in the comments, and it will be in the show notes as well. But just so you can tell us a little bit about it. So here it is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is, I want to talk about a work in progress. You know, this was like the start, right? Was how can I put together this playbook? And honestly, when I created this, I was using the 3.5 model. I was maxing out, you know, my 25 inquiries per every few hours. And I was so intrigued by what I was coming up with. And then, just a little background is, you know, there's a little bit of history about dyslexia and kind of going over neurodivergent thinking and stuff for the people that aren't aware of kind of that information. And then it kind of goes down to two different avenues. And one was, you know, an education thought process and then the business thought process. And how are we going to use these tools in school and education? And then how can we use these tools for careers and for the business world? And so that was kind of like the thought process. I will say, like anything else, you know, I'm not happy with anything. So I'm almost embarrassed to say that it's even out, like available, because I want to revamp it. And the cool part about this is everything's changing so fast. Like it's rapid fire constantly. And so it's a work in progress, and it's something that's going to be always a work in progress, which is pretty cool. It's something it's what I needed. So it was meant to sort of be like the first conversation that we get to have about these tools and recognizing and honoring that that they are a great pairing and that they go well together. And it was just a chance to start those conversations and really, and so I'm kind of like, I have a couple of, I've been building it and, I want to create a real, this is a kind of a playbook, or I want to create a guide. There's still a lot of content in there, but I'm a visual learner. So I need to be, this is where all this stuff gets me really excited. So I'm putting down my own book, but it's only because what I get really excited is when I have an immersive reader and you can do all these different tools and stuff that I'm talking about with my product. That's what I really want. And so when it gets to be pretty and I get to have it visual appealing and all that kind of stuff, but I'm working on it constantly. And it's a great place to start. It's a great place for people to just get an idea about the options that are out there and just understand my thought process on how all this is going to go or where I see the advantages and disadvantages. And so.
That is great, Matt. And again, if you go to mattivy.com, you can go ahead and check out and or the ebook and make sure that you download it. And it's completely free, guys. $3.99. Go and get it, download it, read it, get to know a little bit more. And of course, the goal, unleashing the power of different minds and inclusive technology. And I mean, you know, just the passion that Matt brings, the message that he's getting out there. And like I said, this is what really drew my or caught my attention to his work is just the fact that nobody else that I have known in the space has been talking about this as much as Matt has in the last couple of months. And then just following his work in the newsletter or that he puts out through LinkedIn also as well. So definitely, if you're not following him on LinkedIn, please make sure you follow him on LinkedIn too as well, because I guarantee you he puts out something every day. He comes in through my feed every single day. And again, it does not disappoint. And it's just great to catch up. And more than anything, just the thought process that really helps me kind of put myself in his shoes to kind of to understand better what it is that he is going through. And most importantly, to really understand the message and visualize the message that he and the picture that he's painting for me as we talk about the dyslexic AI playbook, as we talk about AI and dyslexia and the advantages. And just like Matt is talking about, just that passion of having tools that are available now to help our students in the K-12 space, in the higher ed space, and really for any adult in any space that can get that additional support. So Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But before we go and we start wrapping up, I want to ask you, Matt, like what is your vision right now? Maybe whether it's 3 months down the road, maybe a year down the road, where do you see this going for you?
For me, well, there's two things. You know, as far as dyslexic AI, I want to keep on putting out the content. I want to modify it. It's, you know, it's been a blog. It's been my thoughts. I think that I would like to connect people a little bit more. This is like a real time kind of thought experiment for me. This is like, I'm also, I'm building myself as a solo entrepreneur right now. Right. And so a part of this is to show people the process that I'm going through to build a community, to build like the dyslexic AI community, and then a community for myself as well, to have a voice for myself. And so for my personal side of stuff, like my passion is coaching. I love coaching. I love teaching. I love coaching coaches. And so I also love the vision. So that was something I didn't realize until recently, that I saw things that a lot of people didn't see. I could visualize things in my head in a way that a lot of people can't do. And so I enjoy that part of it. So doing more coaching and consulting, this type of conversation, having a longer format conversations like this to be able to share that vision, because it's not easy to share this conversation, to have this conversation. It I mean, we could talk for hours and not talk about the same thing with these subjects right now. And so I want to do a little bit more down that path, helping out others and doing coaching consulting, and then continuing to put out the content and sharing that journey. But really, that part also is like, as more people are getting involved, it's being able to share everybody else's journey. I like to bring people together. I'd like to be the spoke or the hub that brings other people together. I'm not the master of any of these things. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the knowledge. But when you start using these tools, it's allowing me to build this network in a way that was never possible before. And so that part of the journey alone is enjoyable to share because, just having AI conversations alone, let alone dyslexic conversations, let alone tech conversations in school. These are all new conversations and new paths forward for a lot of people. So all those get me excited, and I just want to continue to do that and help as many people as I can along the way.
Excellent. And I love that, Matt. And really, I can see your passion. There's a lot of things that you mentioned that really resonate with me because I find myself quite being like you in the sense that I love to just be that connector of people and bringing people with similar or different ideas and having these amazing conversations that need to be had and just providing that space and amplifying voices. So we definitely have that in common. And so hopefully maybe in the near future, we can definitely start listening to maybe the Dyslexic AI podcast or something out there, you know, where you can have some more of that outreach. And that would be amazing. And it would be definitely very beneficial to us, to all our audience members, and obviously to you as a creator as well, as I know that I find just a lot of, just self-fulfillment through this and just a lot of happiness and joy to be able to connect people also in similar or different situations and learn from each other's perspectives. And I think that's so important. So thank you so much, Matt, for being with me here this evening
and
sharing your story and your passion. But before we go, I always love to end the show with the last three questions. And I know I put them in the calendar invite. So let's see if we can go ahead and get some nice answers here. So, Matt, as we know, every superhero has a weakness or a pain point. So for Superman, kryptonite weakened Superman. So that was his big pain point. So I want to ask you, through your perspective, through your eyes and through your vision, what would you consider your current kryptonite, whether it be through in the AI space or in the education space?
For the AI space, it's just getting people on board and in tune with it and using it. That for sure is like a conversation that needs to be had, and it can be difficult for some people. And then the second one is kind of like it's double-edged because it's also the best part about it. It's just that there's so many options right now. There's so many, it's moving so fast. This world is just moving so quickly, that it's hard to keep up. Right. And so, but that's why we're here. And it is to be that bridge, that gap between being able to keep up and being overwhelmed with it and being able to give teachers, students, and people the tools that they can use and not be overwhelmed and intimidated by them.
Excellent. Great answer, Matt. Thank you. All right. Question number two is, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
I probably had about 50 different things that I could think of, but the one that kind of like is just sticking with me right now would be infinite imagination. And I think that's kind of like, when you talk about outside the box thinking and neurodivergent thinking, and then you layer that together with LLMs and these tools, it creates this opportunity for infinite imagination. And I can't remember who, what I came up in a conversation the other day with somebody And so I'm not going to know who to give it credit to, but it really stuck with me. And so
that is
right
great.
Now, it's that.
That is an awesome answer. Thank you so much, Matt. And the last question. All right. Last question is, if you had to author a book starting tomorrow, what would your book be about?
Now, this is a tough one for me because I definitely have this concept that I've been working on that has to do with dyslexia and academics, but it's geared towards athletics and my whole athletics part of my life, and interviewing some athletes and people that were athletes that did business stuff. And then the second one, honestly, which would be a kind of a deviation from where I'm at, would be like sacred geometry. I'm kind of into this like ancient history stuff right now. And math was always difficult for me. But when I started learning some of the concepts and the cool history behind it, and I could like get these I could take those visualizations and have concepts and work through like the history of it. It was fascinating. And so there's something that's really cool that I've been learning about that whole world of sacred geometry that I enjoy drawing and playing with these days. So
nice. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate your answers. Again, I appreciate your time and I appreciate the work that you're doing. So I definitely wish you the best. And I definitely look forward every day to seeing your content on LinkedIn. So for all our audience members, please make sure that you follow Matt, follow him on LinkedIn, go to Dyslexic AI, go to mattivy.com. Make sure you check out that free ebook too as well, just to kind of give you an idea of the work that he's doing, the message and the vision that he has, what he's putting out there into the LinkedIn space and social media space. So please make sure that you do connect with him. And for our audience members that were joining us today live, thank you so much, Sophie. I know you were putting some comments in here. Thomas also as well. But for all of you that are going to be catching this on the replay, thank you as always for making My EdTech Life what it is today. Like I said, we do what we do for you because we want to bring you some amazing conversations week in and week out, and conversations that will definitely continue to help us grow professionally and personally, and also to connect with other amazing educators, creators, practitioners, entrepreneurs, and edupreneurs as well. So please make sure you visit our website at myedtech.life, myedtech.life, where you can check out this amazing episode and the other 253 wonderful episodes with amazing, amazing guests that I guarantee that you can find some knowledge nuggets and be able to sprinkle those onto what you are already doing great. So please make sure you visit our website. Please make sure that you visit us on all socials and follow us on all socials. If you haven't yet, just follow us at MyEdTechLife, at MyEdTechLife on all socials. And please, guys, don't forget, we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So please make sure, if you haven't yet, jump over to YouTube, give us a thumbs up, and subscribe to our channel. We would greatly appreciate it. So thank you, as always, from the bottom of my heart. And until next time, my friends, don't forget, stay techie.